Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for getting on. Hopefully you'll get a blessing tonight. First of all, I want to thank God and His Son, Jesus Christ, for this opportunity and who is also sustaining us to this very moment. I want to also thank Elder Oliver and his wife, Lady Kay, for providing this platform for whoever will have a word for the people. Chaos Law Talk Radio. And again, thank you for joining tonight. And hopefully we can get through this without confusion. We got a subject tonight. I'm not going to read the subject just yet. I think my wife came up with this subject. But I want to read a couple of scriptures first before we announce the subject. Let's do it that way. So let's read Psalms 37 and 4. Psalms 37 and 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Matthew 7 and 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And third verse, Mark 11 and 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. Amen, amen. So based on those three pieces of scripture, the subject stated is, what do you do while you're waiting on your soulmate? How do I know if they are the one? Let me read that again. What do you do while you're waiting on your soulmate? How do I know if they are the one? So, based on those three scriptures I read, that pretty much ends the show. But we're going to have a little collaboration between me, my wife, and my middle daughter, Vanessa, who I call Nani, that is on. My other kids are not able to join this evening. But God bless them and keep them, whatever they're doing. So, I really want to hear from my wife and my daughter before I really say anything into this, because I think what I'll say, unless God give me something different, me just fleshly thinking is basic with me. But if God gives me something, which I hope He will, to help all of us who are listening, who's on tonight, to be patient in their waiting for their soulmate, then maybe it'll help us all. But it won't help me and my wife, if we're already entangled for 37 years. So for those of you who are listening that are single, hopefully this can help you tonight to be steadfast. So I'm going to ask my daughter, Vanessa, to pray us in, and we'll get started.
Okay, Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for another day. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for breathing our bodies to speak on love and good things and spread some positivity into this world. Thank you, God, for the platform. Thank you, God, for the opportunity. And thank you, God, for every listener, every soul that came to just, you know, for whatever reason it is, I pray that everybody gains something. And I just thank you in advance, God, for the conversation and a great episode. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right. Thank you, Nani. In Jesus' name, amen. So, and may it be so. So I'm going to let my wife start us off, and we'll see what direction we'll go in based on this topic. Go ahead, sweetie.
Okay, can you read the question, the first part of the question, please?
All right, let me get it again. So this was your subject. What you mean? All right, what do you do while you're waiting on your soulmate? What do you do while you're waiting on your soulmate?
Okay. First of all, let me make this clear. I wasn't saved. My husband was saved, but I wasn't saved when we got married. So let's make that clear first. But on the same token, he asked me to marry him. He asked me to marry him. So what I was due to do, then he didn't want me. Not because of what I was, you know, who I was, it wasn't ready. He let me know that he wasn't ready. So as we, you know, months, years went by, you know, I was still doing what I was doing. He was still doing what he was doing. But I wasn't pressuring him or, you know, to marry me or whatever. He did, he made it clear. You know, he didn't want to marry me. He wasn't ready to be settled. He wasn't ready to be tied down with one woman. And he made it very, very, very clear, not just by his words, but by his actions, you know. But one thing he did do, whenever I called him, you know, he dropped whoever he was with, and we got together and whatever we did. But I would say stay busy, doing what you do. You know, if you're in school, get your education. You know, because I'm going to tell you, a man is looking at you. If he want to marry you, he's not just going to walk up to you and ask you if he wants to marry you. Men, they will sit back and watch for years if it takes that. Sometimes it might not take years. But a man will wait on a good woman. So you don't have to, a woman don't have to rush, you know, just continue to take care of you, take care of your kids. If you have kids, continue to take care of your kids, because I'm going to tell you, I don't care how many opportunities he may have, because believe me, my husband was dating some fine women, all different nationalities. He did not discriminate. So I wasn't the finest. I wasn't the smartest. You know, and I didn't have the there were some bad girls, just put it like that. They had it together. And they had way more money than me. So men are not really looking at how much money you have, if you got it together, or if, you know, they're not looking at they know a man, and I can't tell you what they want, because every man wants something different in a woman. But if he desires you, he's going to wait for you. Trust me, he's going to wait for you. So don't rush into anything, because a man, the word lets you know, when a man finds the wife, he finds the good thing. So that's all we have to do, is keep being about our Father's vision. And if you're not saved, keep doing what you're doing. Seek God. And if you are saved, seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And believe me, the desires of your heart, if that's what you desire to do, is be married. I've been desiring my whole life to be happily married, not just married. My desire was to be happily married with four kids and a white picket fence. That was my desire. Okay? So we don't have to, as women, go out there and chase a man or look for a man or be all in the man's face to try to draw him or in somebody else's man's face to try to draw him. Just be about your father's business. Be about your business and doing what God put in your heart to do, and he'll see you busy, and he's watching you. Trust me, he's watching you. Just keep doing what you're doing, and don't change who you are. Just be who you are. So what was the second, what was the question again? You have to keep that question up.
Well, let's see. We're going to get ready to end the show in 5 minutes.
Anyway, why?
What do you do while you're waiting on your soulmate?
Okay, so what was the second part? Oh, we'll wait on the second part. We'll wait on the second part. Whatever the, I forget what the second part was. Well, yeah, that's what you do. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about a man. Women, I can't speak for men, but women, just keep doing what you're doing. Take care of you. You know your standards. You know, don't lower your standards for a man just to get one. And you know what you will tolerate and what you won't. And believe me, and if, when you, you will know if it's the right person or not. You, we know. Men show signs in the first beginning, but we just want a piece of man. And I heard somebody say, as long as I got a piece of man, no, I don't want a piece of man. I want a whole man that completes me. I want that man that, you know, that God ordained. Because I'm telling you, God has somebody set up waiting for just for you. But he's preparing either you, or you preparing both of you guys, or that God is preparing him for you. Because I know I had to wait for 5 years for my husband because he know that I wasn't ready because he was still preparing me. He was still preparing me for what he had for me. Because if I would have got married then, you know, I don't know what would have happened, but I'm just saying. He was preparing me, you know, for this journey that I've been on for 38, 9 years. And God knows. God don't make no mistake. He has somebody just for you, handpicked just for you. But we have to be patient. We go in and out of these different relationships because we settle in. Don't settle. You know that man is not for you. The first date you knew. But you just want to go because, you know, whatever reason. But anyway, Nani, you have anything to say before your dad? Because I want the, and Asha, was Asha on?
Yeah, Asha's in the car with me too.
What you've always told me, get your house in order. Get everything you need to. If you have issues, handle that. Because what if you jump into a relationship and you think that's the perfect man, and then your issues get in the way, and then now y'all are issues. Your house in order.
Right. So when you say your house, what do you mean by your house?
Whatever that can mean to you, your house can be you, your temple. Get you together first, or if it's your actual house. Because what if y'all keep going on dates? Okay, you gonna show me your house? Blah, blah, blah. You know, get your house in order. Get whatever that means to whoever is listening.
Okay. So if you have issues, deal with your issues before you bring your issues into a whole relationship and you haven't dealt with who you are and your issues.
Right.
Okay. All right.
I feel like, you know, I'm not married or in a relationship, so I can't really, I guess I could talk on waiting, the part of waiting of what we're talking about. I don't know, I've just never looked at anything as waiting. I'm not really waiting for anything. Like, I'm happy. I'm not going to say I'm just happy by my, I mean, I am, though. Like, I'm happy single. So it's like I'm not really actively waiting. I feel like my person is just going to pop into my life, and it's just going to happen, and I'm not going to know what's even happening. That's how I look.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how I view me finding my soulmate is. I don't know, it's going to be one of those experiences. I don't know what happened because I'm not really looking. So Yeah, I feel like what's the question? Let me go to the chat.
Okay, just like
Hold on.
Just like
wait,
me and
what do you do while you're waiting on your soulmate? You said what?
What? Just like me and your dad. I just drove up one day and he said, "You wanna get married?" And we went that same day.
Yeah, like that's how I look at it, is just very good. You know what I'm saying? But
wait a minute.
Like
say that again.
Nani was saying she's happy being single, and she's not really waiting. She's just enjoying her life. She's not really waiting. And she's just enjoying her life. So it's not like she's waiting. She feel like it's just going to happen, like, you know, he's just going to pop up and he's going to be there.
Okay. So I do want to go back to what Audra said about get your house in order. And from what the things I know now at my age, that's a great statement. That's a great thing to do, because if you get yourself together, you know, go to college, get you a great job, aspire to promote yourself, do things in your life that you will have your own foundation. That when a man sees you and chooses you, you know, you ain't got to lean on him, but what you have brought to the table and he brings to the table makes it a full spread.
Mm-hmm.
See? What I don't want a young woman to do, especially my daughters, is to lean on a man for everything they need. If it's a good man that chooses you, you won't have a need. But you also got what you brought to the table also to make the marriage better.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. And I was going to also say that, like, how do I word it? I don't want to use the term tax bracket, but like, it's because I'm not thinking about just money. I'm thinking of your worth as a person. Like, if you want to attract better, just work on yourself being better, if that makes sense. Like, if you, yeah, like working on yourself so that you can attract better men, better women, like, you know, for male, female, whatever. Yeah, just kind of like what y'all saying of just working on yourself and, healing, so you won't cut on somebody that didn't bleed you. I mean, bleed on somebody that didn't cut you. But, like, you know, working on healing and, you know, trying to be the best that you can so that you, when y'all come together, you know, of course there's going to be issues, but, you know what I'm saying, it could be a little smoother, I guess. So,
you know,
yeah.
But you have to deal with wait. We have to go back to, because a lot of people do this, and I want you to expound on it because you said it. You don't want to bleed on somebody that didn't cut you. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Through life, we go through life experiences, traumatic experiences, bad breakups, bad family relationships. We go through a lot of things in life, and sometimes we can project that hurt onto the next person when they didn't even have a chance yet. They didn't even have a chance to hurt you, and you're already putting them through so much, like, dang, like, you know, you could be a great person, but it's like, okay, is it worth the relationship if every day I'm getting accused of this, I'm getting accused of that, I have to come home and I got to make sure I don't have a piece of lint that's on my shirt that, you know what I'm saying, like, is this a lot, you know what I'm saying, like,
yeah.
You're sitting here bleeding on this person because you're not healed, they didn't even get a chance to make a mistake yet, and you already, you know what I'm saying, on their head. So that's what I mean by, like, you know, trying your best to heal so that you won't, you know, bleed on other people that didn't even get a chance, like.
Mm-hmm. And that's dealing with your issues before they deal with you and, you know, taking it into another relationship. That's just like what Ozzy was saying, with dealing and taking your temple, get your temple together, your house, your mind. Get your mind together first. Because you could, like you said, you could be a great person, but as soon as you get the person, it's like you turn into this other person that you were in the last relationship, and bringing all that old stuff. That's why you should. That's another topic. I was going to go there, but yeah, I like that. Not to bleed on other people that didn't cut you. Deal with the issues at hand when they come up.
So do y'all feel like, okay, you and Daddy asking y'all, that somebody can, like how we're saying, like, get yourself together, this and that. Y'all think somebody can come along and help, not necessarily help heal you, because only you can really do that internal work with God and, you know, do actively working on it yourself. But you think that somebody can come along and, like, y'all just, not necessarily share issues, but y'all both got issues and y'all just work through them together? Or you think it's better to, like, try to, you know, like, what do y'all think about that?
Well,
Daddy, you know I can't explain. I suck at explaining stuff, but like,
I know you like me, but go ahead, try to repeat.
So I'm asking, like, do you think? Because we're talking about getting your, you know, dealing with your issues before they deal with you, get your house in order, be ready. But like, do you think somebody can come along and help you with, like, with your issue? They're like, and I know that you can only heal from internally. Nobody can come along and really help you. I don't know if they can. That's what I'm really asking.
Okay.
Do y'all think that some, you know, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The only thing I'm going to say
is, wait, Daddy,
this.
Do you get what I'm First, saying, too? Daddy, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do understand what you're saying. And
okay.
And the person that knows how to listen, that has learned how to listen to people, that person can come along and help you, right? But what I can't stand is a person you're talking to and they can't wait for you to stop so they can say something. They're not listening, right? So there is a man out there for every woman that's just for you, but you got to be spotted by that man. He's looking, but he's not searching. Because when you're searching, you don't know what you might find. But if you're just looking and observing, you'll find it. But there is a man, or a woman in particular, that can come along and have an open heart and listen to what you've been through and listen thoroughly and then try to help you get to a better state of mind. There is a man out there.
What I was going to say was, a lot of people they don't like to admit that they have issues. So if you can find somebody, a man, to admit or talk about his issues, because women talk about their issues, but a lot of times men won't talk about theirs. And then you do have some stubborn women that won't just want to, you know, don't talk about their issues either until something pop off. And then, you know, you find out what the issue is. But I would say if you have an issue or if you see an issue and if it's worth talking about, what all issues, if you're dealing with somebody, is worth talking about. But see if they would open up, you know, about it. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah,
that makes sense.
It does. So let me read the subject again one more time. What do you do while you're waiting on your soulmate? What do you do? So in the meantime, before your soulmate or your husband or your, you know, finds you and proposes, what do you do in the meantime? What do you do in the meantime? Occupy yourself with life. Occupy yourself with joy. Occupy yourself with building yourself up, seeing your future and what you want to do, and add to the table what the man may bring. So you got to occupy yourself. Travel, work, school, hobby, business. Occupy yourself. See? Because, see, when a woman starts trying to look for a man, it ain't going to work. That ain't what the word of God say. It ain't going to work. But when a woman occupies herself with life and fulfilling that life, she's able, stable, and ready to be received when that man comes across. So it's very, in this world, the society that we're in today, there's so much going on. There's so much hearsay. There's so many lies out there, and it's a lot of truth. But what do you maintain? What do you set your sights on? So as a woman, humble yourself. Do what you need to do in your and just be ready.
John.
Okay.
All right, so let me say this also to what your mom said earlier about me not wanting to marry her within those 5 years and how I dropped everything within those 5 years when she called. Because when I first saw your mother, when I first saw my wife, and y'all know the story, I was in my lowrider in South Central L.A., doing my daily route. I did every evening. And one evening, I rode up to this stop sign. I looked right, which she was on the right. I looked left. And I looked right again. When I looked at the right the second time, I looked dead in her eyes, and it just broke me. She had an angelic face. And now at my age, thinking back, I want to say God said that's the one. I want to say that. But I didn't hear him say that. But what I saw with my own two eyes, I'll never forget to the day I die. And I can still see that face and those eyes and that those lips, that nose, that smile. She had a bigger smile in her, but she was with somebody. And she couldn't just, you know, be a chess cat and just smile big. But she had a smile that I've seen that she didn't show. And from that day forward, what was in me, when she called and I was with somebody else, I dropped that to be with her. Automatic. Not a second thought. And if she did come over to the house and a girl was there, that girl had to leave. And she had a confrontation with one girl that she almost threw off a banister, second floor. But I won't go into that. That's another episode. But from day one, something formed in me that my heart would melt for her. And it always has to this day. So when a man finds a good thing, he's not going to get rid of it. He's never going to let it go. He's going to hold on to it. And I did that for her to this very day. So keep doing what you're doing in life as a woman. That man will find you. God will lead that man to you.
Aww. That was the show right there. Drop the mic. What was the other question? What was the other part?
How do you know if they're the one?
How do you know if they're the one?
Now, I got a question before y'all answer that question. Ricky, why do you always keep coming back to me?
It was just something about you showing me how a young lady should be treated. Nobody ever showed me how a young lady should be treated. And I don't care. It just being around you made me feel comfortable. The way that you treated me, you treated me with respect. You opened the door. You know, you was that guy. You knew what to do. You knew what to do. And not just that, I looked at your parents. I looked at your mom, your dad, how you treated your mom. You know, how you talked to your siblings. You know, I got along with your sister, your brother. Matter of fact, the whole family. I mean, I just felt comfortable with you. I don't care where we were. You always made me feel. Oh, let me tell you. I'm telling this story. He had took me out one night to a club, and I've never liked to
tell that story.
No, I have to tell that story because it was part of you. Part of you. How he? Because that's this is the bad. Okay, so he took me to the club. He asked me, did I want to go to, I really didn't go to clubs, but I just wanted to be with him. So he took me to the club, and back then, what was the club? It was right up under the bridge with the telephones.
Yeah, it was out by
the port. The Carolina West, I think it was.
Yep, it was.
I think it was the Carolina West. He took me to the Carolina West, and I don't know how big the club is, but I didn't roam around the club. He told me to sit right there, and I think he knew that I wasn't going to go walk around the club because he sat me right by. It's just an open space. Don't nobody be over there but, I guess, the homie girls. But he sat me over there on these cushions, nice cushions, and he just told me, stay right here, I'll be back. He left me there the whole night. The whole night. He wouldn't come over there and check on me, you know, and I told him, you know, I'm fine. And I didn't mind. And I think that's why he stayed so long, because I didn't mind long as I was there with him. But he, wherever he was, he had to keep an eye on me to know, you know, if somebody was getting close, he knew he would come over there. He would come over, you okay? You know, I guess to scare off the other guys or whatever. But he always, I don't know if he kept his eyes on me or not, but the whole night, I didn't move out of that seat. I didn't even use the bathroom. I sat right there. And I felt comfortable, and I didn't mind sitting there. I didn't mind being there. I was just glad to be there with him. And that's how comfortable I was with him. Regardless of where we went or where he took me, I felt comfortable, and I knew, and protection. I knew he was protecting me. And even though he wasn't there, I knew he was near, because it seemed like every time when somebody get a little close to me, he would come and ask me, am I okay? I guess to let the other people know that this is my woman. And he would go on whatever he was doing, and he'll come back. But that's what he gave. He gave a sense of security. Even though he wasn't there with me, it's almost like I knew he was there. I could feel his presence. But anyway, yeah.
I don't know if that's the way it went. I got a vague memory.
How did it go?
Well, I'm just saying, I got a vague memory of that. I can't really argue with you on that. But I know, I knew it was one or two times I got up and went and probably talked with a partner or something, you know, and came right back. But I don't think I deserted you the whole night and only checked on you when somebody got close. I don't know if it went that way.
How did it go then, man?
I say I got a vague memory. I don't know.
Did we dance?
I think we danced one time.
I danced?
One time we did. I think you were so much in my aurora and my glow that you don't remember that we danced one time and it was slow song.
No, I would have remembered. Trust me, women remember. Women remember. And
so,
I'm going to tell y'all another story. Let me tell them this one more story.
Wait. Whisper to me what you're going to say first.
When you had me go, when you was working at the hotel and you had me to go to the hotel next door to it, I couldn't come to the hotel you was working at.
Oh, Lord. See, let's get back on the subject.
No, listen. Is the subject. But this is, you asked me a question. Why did I keep coming back? Because you made me feel comfortable.
Well, hold on, baby. Don't tell everything. Just kind of, you know, do the bullet points.
That is the bullet point. You asked me a question. Why did I keep coming back? That was the question you just asked. You threw that in there.
All right.
So now
ahead.
I'm answering it. Okay. Mind you, I had to catch the bus to his hotel. He worked at this fancy little and North Hollywood? He was Beverly Hills somewhere. But anyway, I'm not going to call the name. He went down. I caught the bus down there, and he told me, "What, Ricky, don't come to my hotel. Go to the next one, next door, and you get all, get your stuff together, put you on something cute, you know, and I'll be over there." I waited.
He finally came.
Yeah, you are. That's what you told me. But I didn't mind. I didn't mind. You had already told me you was at work. You had already told me you was at work and it might be late. And I told you I didn't mind. I didn't even mind getting the hotel next to you, not even questioning why I couldn't get the hotel that you work in. I didn't question none of that. I end up finding out later that it was a white woman in there that he was messing with and that he didn't want me in the hotel. But I found that out years later.
Mommy, what are we talking about?
Wait a minute,
he asked me, why did I keep coming back?
See, I didn't mean to ask you that question, why you kept coming back, because I didn't anticipate all this. But y'all.
Okay, well, you asked me the question.
Hold on.
You made me
Ricky,
feel comfortable. What?
Hold on. Ricky, hold on. Now, all of this was happening. We wasn't married yet. We were single now.
We weren't.
We were single.
Yeah.
I just want to get in there. We were single.
But you asked, why did I keep coming back?
And I don't know what she talking about. But go ahead with your story.
What? You don't remember me, you working at the hotel?
Yeah, I remember working at the hotel. I think you said something else, though.
Okay, you don't remember me getting a hotel room on the hotel next door to it?
I do.
You don't remember working late?
I do.
You don't remember me telling me to go ahead and get dolled up and real cute and you'll be there?
I do.
So what part don't you understand? What part don't you, I mean?
You said something about some white girl.
You don't remember her?
That was a woman that liked me.
Okay, same difference. Bill Clinton?
So he didn't
same
have
same difference,
no wife.
Bill?
She liked
Bill Clinton.
Me.
Bill Clinton. Same thing, sweetie.
Well, let's get it straight now. She liked me. Okay, she was pursuing. But I had my treasure next door.
But I respected that. And I waited for you, and I waited for you.
Okay, go on with the story.
Okay. So that was the story. I didn't mind. I didn't mind waiting. I didn't mind staying up to 2 o'clock in the morning till you got off work. Okay, I didn't mind. I felt comfortable even waiting for you to get off work. The candles went out. They burnt all the, I didn't bring a second set of candles, but it was, I still, it was the excitement behind it and just being with you. You still made me feel, it was worth the wait. Because the next morning we end up going to the pizza. We walked down to the pizza, Maria. We just have fun the whole next day. I mean, we just enjoyed. You made it worth the wait. You showed me part of the world that I'd never seen, and I've been there my whole life. And you showed that to me. You took the time, walked me around, showed me what different things were, you know, and just enjoyed you. Matter of fact, I think we went to the Stars. We caught the bus where they take you where we see the Stars house.
Yeah, it's like a little tour thing in Hollywood where you can take this little bus and see where the Stars lived at and all that stuff.
And you just showed me things. I mean, it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait, and that's why I kept coming back, because even though you made life seem difficult, now that I look back, I'm like, was I that dumb? But it really wasn't that I was that dumb. It was just, yeah, I was that dumb. It was dumb.
Well, you said that,
but
I didn't.
Well, it was worth the wait, and I'm glad it worked out the way that it did, and I'm glad everything happened the way it happened. Everything was supposed to happen the way it happened, and because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't ordained to be like it was. And I'm glad it worked that way. I'm glad that I kept coming back, and I'm glad you saw me, and I'm glad, you know, everything. Because seeing about it, we wasn't trying to do anything. We wasn't trying to make nothing happen. You know, you told me you wasn't ready to marry me. You told me that, you know, you had, you know, other women. You told me, and you were straight up front in the beginning, you know, from the beginning. So what was I supposed to expect if, you know, I got a call back, you can't come over right now. And but it never was that. You never told me you can't come over now. It was always, you know, left girls at the mall to come, you know, to come get me. It does. I mean, you were all. You was always there. So you was a gentleman, and you always treated me with respect. Yeah. That's why coming back. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you always let me be who I am. You never try to change me. Even, what, last week I asked you, do you want me to be a girly girl? You're like, no. I didn't marry a girly girl. I want you to just stay, you know, how you are. I married you because of you. Now grab these bags and take them upstairs for Dove.
I did.
But that's why. That's why I kept coming back.
So the second part of that title was, and how do you know, right? We just explained to you, to those that are listening, how you know. You just know. You just know. And you just know, and you didn't know. But it was something that attracted you and kept you in the relationship prior to marriage. You just know. You just know because the way I felt was I was not whole without her. Even those whole 5 years, and I did whatever I did whatever she did or whatever. When she called, I dropped everything. When she come over, she would just make it complete. And I didn't know that until I thought about it on the 5th year. I didn't know that, and I started putting things 2 and 2 together. And when she came over in that 5th year, I was putting a radio in my sister's car, and I was upside down in the car, and she came to the car, and the first thing I saw was her face, and the first thing I said was, will you marry me? And that day, I didn't have a ring, I didn't have a suit on, I had nothing. She had on what she had, flip-flops, and I had on some black shoes, some corduroys, and a white t-shirt. We went and got married at Justice of Peace. We've been together ever since.
You borrowed the money and the ring.
I didn't have no money on me. My mama gave me a ring, and she gave me $65. And I was glad to pay her back that money because it was worth it.
Amen.
Y'all so cute.
You know what's going to be so special? Y'all 65th anniversary. You had to borrow $65 from your mama.
Wait, what?
Y'all 65th anniversary is going to be so special because you had that $65 you had to take from your mama.
Oh. I ain't put it that way, but our anniversary is August 6th this year, same day as Nani has her birthday. And I want to say, so Nani, do the math. We got married in 1987. This is year 2022. What would our years of being married be?
Hold on, I'm doing it right now. You said 87?
87.
35 years of marriage.
So y'all been together for 40?
Been together for 40. Well, we've been married for 35, off and on for 5 more years. But yeah, 40 years.
No, he even.
Do you know how many? That is a long time. You know how many kids y'all could have had in 40 years?
So yeah. we had what God gave us. 5. Remember your mom said she all she wanted, even before she met me, she wanted 4 kids and a white picket fence.
Yeah.
All right. So I just gave her one more better.
Put happily. Overflow.
Happily. Me. I'll see you to overflow.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's happily married. I didn't want to just be married. I want to be happily married.
Yeah.
So what?
So again, not knowing the way we did it, we didn't know, but I had it was something in me that she was the one. And I didn't want to destroy that relationship in those 5 years prior to marriage. I didn't want to destroy it. So I would put down everything I was doing for her because it was something about her that I didn't want to run off. I didn't want to deter it. I didn't want to discourage her. So even though I was doing I was doing something I really, really loved to do, I would drop it when she called if I knew she was coming over. Or even if she just showed up. And whatever I was doing when she showed up, it stopped. See? And she didn't get upset. She didn't go off. She didn't, only one time, I think it was one or two times, she almost threw a girl off the balcony. But other than that, I dropped whatever I was doing. When I seen her face, I knew she was coming over. So... You know when you know. As far as a man, that's on a man's perspective. If a man really loves you, he won't put nothing between you and him. Regardless of what he's doing, he'll drop what he's doing because he doesn't want to lose you. Even though he hadn't married you yet, there's something in you that he sees. And you will know when that time comes.
And what I really, really love, your dad was honest. He was honest from day one. And he let me know he wanted to marry me, but he wasn't ready. And he gave me the freedom. Even to this day, he gave me the freedom to do what I want to do. And he wasn't ready. And I'm like, okay, you're not ready, whatever. Whatever. I'm not going to sweat you. I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm like, whatever. But it was just like you said, one day I just drove up and we went and got married the same day. As soon as he asked, before he changed his mind, I hurried up and did it. I hurried up and did it.
Oh, wow.
But, but yeah, you don't have to twist nobody's arm or when you going to give me a ring. Nope. If a man is honest enough to tell you that he's not ready to get married right now, but he knows that you're the one, okay, but don't stop me from doing what I want to do. And I'm not saying I'm going to be here when you decide that you do either. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that I'm going to be here, but if I happen to be here when you get here, but, hey, when you make up your mind, let me know. But you better pray and hope that I'm available.
But knowing what I know today, about the word of God, is that when God showed me you the first day, first year, you couldn't escape from me asking you to marry me. You couldn't escape it because God had put that together from day one. It's just that I had to get my mind right. You had to get your mind right. We had to live a little bit more before I said, "Will you marry me?" But you couldn't have stopped that. I don't care if you would have went to prison for doing something wrong. I'd have came to the prison house and asked you, "Would you marry me?"
No.
You put money in your books every week. But what God puts together, see the thing about God, when he plans something, he already seen it happen. See, and when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And when a man finds a good thing, he will not let it go. And that's for anything in life. When you find a good thing in life, whether it's a person, a thing, a place, whatever, you never let it go because it's a good thing. And we should all be attracted to good things, right, instead of all this evil that's going on.
I mean, y'all go ahead and discuss something. I'm going to find the scripture right quick.
Do you have any more questions, Nani?
No, I just want to put emphasis on how you're saying that don't stop me from doing me, though. That's one thing I'm big on is, like, being myself, being able to be free, be me. Of course, when you're with somebody, there's certain, things that are inappropriate and stuff like that. But I'm just saying as far as, like, if a man is telling you that he's not ready, then don't sit down and wait. That's what I meant by I don't look at it as waiting for my person. Like, don't sit down and just wait and not be you and not go, travel or not, I won't just say travel, but like, go places that you want to, have fun, hang with your friends, hang with your family, continue to do you and be you. And, don't sit there and just actively wait on a person to want you or to pick you or anything like that. So how you said, that's fine if you're not ready, but don't stop me from doing me. Don't stop me from being me. Well, you sitting there doing you.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And trust me, he did him. Okay.
Hey, you
and believe me, I did me.
So let me read these. He got to emphasize on it. He did him. No, just
yeah, I did me too.
Let me read these scriptures right here, right quick, based on what we've had a conversation about and what we've learned tonight. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Last scripture, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. So actually, the word of God tells us how we should be, tells us how we should do things, gives us an expected end, already has chosen for us things that are going to be right in our life. And the only thing that deters that is when we do what we want to do in this flesh, when we want to just make up our own minds to go out and search and find, and it's not right. So, we got to be careful of our greed of wanting to have, whether it's a person, materialism, or whatever else in life. We got to be careful of what we want so bad enough that we'll do anything to get it, and it never turns out right. So we got to be careful. Just go by the word of God explains to us how we can have, how we can be, and how we can do things. It really, really does. And the day that you fall in love with God, you fall in love with his word. And who is his word? Jesus Christ. His word is Jesus Christ. And we should tell everybody about his word. Hey, and one thing me and Elder Oliver was talking about last night, and I just thought about that last night, was that, and I know we're a little bit off subject, but it's still the subject. We were talking about something about, was talking about Jesus when he walked to earth and how he is spread now. He's spread by the word now, but he spread himself as the word when he walked this earth. He always was with sinners, right? We should be with sinners to tell them about the word. Y'all follow me if you can. So Jesus was the word alive walking on the earth, going to sinners to save them.
to bless them, perform miracles in their life for them to believe. He did that physically, and he was the Word walking in the flesh. So when we walk in our flesh, we got to speak the Word to others to exalt them, to encourage them about the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all follow what I'm saying?
I follow you, but while you was talking, I found this scripture. There's nothing wrong with what you just said. You're talking about marriage and finding a man finding a wife and what to do as far as marriage. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is talking about let me finish reading this. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for with fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have. And my suggestion, I'm not even going to say a suggestion. The Word of God says, if you're a believer, Nani, Asha, or anybody out there, if you are a believer, if you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose on the third day, okay, there's no reason why you should go and marry somebody that don't believe the same thing that you believe. Okay? Because either he gonna draw, more than likely, women are drawn to what a man is or what he does. So I would strongly suggest, I'm gonna stop using the word suggest. The Word of God says, don't be unequally yoked. And it strictly says, with unbelievers. Not saying that you can't be around sinners. Not saying you can't be around sinners. I'm not saying that. As far as marriage, marrying into, letting another, somebody persuade you to worship the moons and stars and, you know, no. That's unequally yoked.
Okay, what if that person that, you know, you fall in love with, whatever, don't really have a relationship with God or Jesus Christ, don't really know them? You can still, you know, lead them to God.
That's different.
God.
I don't know. Your dad was saved. I wasn't. I didn't know no better.
Okay, I was just clarifying that because you're just making it seem like they don't believe. No.
That's not an unbeliever is untaught. So you could teach them what you know. They're untaught.
You saying if somebody already has it set in stone of what they believe in?
Yes. If that's what they believe, then that's what you believe. But don't go not, you know, believing what you were taught, and they going against what you were taught.
I don't know.
That's
really
what I'm saying.
Okay, so are you saying it's okay? Okay, how daddy was saved and you weren't. You weren't a believer, though, because you weren't
saved. I was
untaught.
I didn't believe
anything.
Okay, you
were untaught.
I was
You're saying an unbeliever as in they don't believe at all. Like, they already are set on what they believe.
Right. They set on what they believe. They believe in other gods. They believe in this man that's sitting on the ground that can't move, a statue with a bald head and a big stomach.
Gotcha.
Okay. That's not what you taught. You weren't taught to kneel down to no statue. You weren't taught to go howl to the moons. You wasn't taught that. No. Don't be unequally low, because more than likely they're going to pull you away from what you believe and make your what you believe not true.
So,
and they'll find every reason.
So get your house in order before the wrong man that you may believe is the right man. Get your house in order. Y'all live your life. Do your schooling. Do your businesses. Do your work. Build your foundation. And things that y'all are doing in life right now are good. If somebody ever comes into your life and disrupts your goodness, you know it's not for you, simply put. So I got saved in 1987, the same year we got married, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know the doctrine. I didn't know nothing. I was a babe in Christ. And as the years, you know, went by, I did a lot of studying and all that to know the things I know now by God's blessing. So just be, keep your light on that it shines. That whoever gets around you is either blinded and runs away or adds a light to your light. We won't know everything. And you got some smooth folks out there that butter you up. Tating your spirit, it ain't for your spirit. Just keep that in mind. All right? You don't have to do no multiplications. You don't have to figure nothing out. If it irritates your spirit, it's not for your spirit. And I don't care how handsome a guy is. I don't care what he has. Don't be lured by the material and what your eyes can see. Don't be lured by your heart, knowing there's something there that you don't want to depart from, if that makes sense. We're right at about the hour. So let everybody have their evening back. Great conversation tonight. It just made me fall re-in love, even though I'm in deep in love, to fall re-in love with my precious wife, who has tolerated me these 35, 40 years. And I know I can be a fool, but I'm still learning today how to be more humbler, how to be more accepting, how to be more loving. And her actions speak louder than mine. No, my wife is a doer. And what she does for Christ, she does for her family. So I'm still amazed at what God showed me 40 years ago at a stop sign in the eyes of the woman I knew I would have. So, man, that is so clear to me right now. I could not mess that up if I tried. And there's several things I've done within those 5 years of us dating that I should have messed it up, but she just kept coming back. And not only did God make it possible, but my wife made it possible coming back. And to this day, I don't know how I would ever feel if we would have never got married, but I would have never forgotten about her, ever. And even at the age of 61, and if she was still living, I would probably go search for her.
Oh.
But she has the same eyes from day one. The same eyes from day one. And if I was blind and I happened to walk past her in that direction, that's what I saw that day.
Period. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So I appreciate you, sweetie. I appreciate your patience. And I know you're still waiting on things in me to happen. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you. So with that being said, you know, Be obedient to yourself. If you're not married, be obedient to yourself. Be obedient to God first. Be obedient to yourself. If you're obedient to God, you'll be obedient to yourself. Keep yourself. Do what you need to do to pass the time of day until that man finds you in some kind of way. Right? Keep doing you. Be truthful to you. Right? If we know how to be truthful to ourselves, we'll be truthful to others. We learn truth within ourselves. We don't learn truth between two people. You learn truth within yourself. Anybody got anything to say before we get ready to close out?
Nope.
All right, so let's go ahead and drop the mic. And nine of you prayed us in, nine of you pray us out, sweetie.
Okay, Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for this episode. Thank you for a new segment. Thank you for a new opportunity to spread more love and knowledge and wisdom. And, just thank you for every listener. Thank you for every soul. I pray that everyone gains something that they can take with them, or just a good laugh or a good smile, or just something positive that everybody took from this. And I thank you in advance for everything you have in store for everyone listening and all of us. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for what you've already done. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.
Good night.